Good morning. It is, it has been a long time since I've made a video, and even a long time since I've used this computer. So I've turned it on and I've realized the mouse needed to recharged. And I have a message I will attempt to do this morning. It's one I've been meaning to do on Sunday evenings, but since the hurricane, we haven't had a Sunday evening service, so I will do it today, hopefully. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by which the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life of the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through the one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The title of my message to you today is Our Federal Head. And I can start with the question, who is your federal head? The concept of federal headship is not generally understood today, and not understood. It is often opposed when somebody knows even a little bit about it. It is opposed in our popular culture and sadly by many in the church. We count the concept unfair and wrong. And the opposition is mostly expressed in the phrase, why should I be punished, or why should I die for Adam's sin? There is even some scripture that seems to fight against the idea of federal headship. Jeremiah 31:29-30 says, in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. I've debated with people who said, this is proof that Adam's sin is not imputed to us, at least not anymore, and we are on our own standing before God, and oh, we don't need even Christ to die for us, some have said. And yet, and this is my first point this morning, our solidarity with Adam, our first federal head, resulted in his sin, his guilt being imputed to us and inherited by us. This is clear from Romans 5, verse 12 through 14. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered in the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. In Adam, sin and death entered the human race and brought us to complete disgrace. See how quickly and powerfully sin brought death. Even the first son, Cain, murdered the second son, Abel, Genesis 3:8. Before the end of Genesis 4, Genesis 4:23 and 24, Lamech, Cain's grandson, is bragging about murder. It's not just that he committed a murder, he's proud of it. He's boasting. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, I'll be avenged 70 sevenfold, or something like that. Sort of a paraphrase from memory. In Genesis 5, we read over and over again in this first genealogy, and he died, and he died, and he died. Because of sin, death reigned. It was not long before death became our way, the way that seems right to a man. There is, according to Proverbs 14:12, and also Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It's interesting that Solomon, who wrote Proverbs in Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25, repeats the same words. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. He repeated it intentionally. Not only is death inevitable, but man sinks to the point of murder and suicide, and sometimes he thinks these things are right and good. Romans 5:12 does not contradict Jeremiah 31:29 and 30. Why? Death has spread to all men, it says in Romans 5:12, because all have sinned. It's not just that we have inherited Adam's sin and have been imputed Adam's sin. We carry out ourselves Adam's sin. We do it. We don't just inherit, or we are not just imputed it. Adam's sin was imputed to us, inherited by us, infused in us like a deadly sap from a corrupt tree. The name Adam means mankind, and his solidarity with us is such that sin and guilt is communicated to us. When we are more a Christian nation, when we were that, Americans understood this. The New England Primer, once used in schools in America, started its teaching the alphabet to children, even the smallest children, with the letter A. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. The youngest children were taught this way. Not only the alphabet, but also the federal headship of Adam. Our connection to him, our solidarity with him, ultimately our sinking, the sinking of the entire human race, was because of him. Because of the Bible and its widespread teaching, I believe the remnants of the teaching of federal headship continued in our culture, even until recent years. For instance, not that long ago, an attack from a foreign nation, coupled with a declaration of war from a leader of that nation, meant we were at war with every individual in that nation. Now, I'm not sure about the details of the change, when or how it happened, but now a Death of America chant from Iran, even from one of its primary leaders, is no longer considered a declaration of war of the nation as a whole. It's just that individual. It's just that particular leader. We can't blame the whole thing, the whole nation, for that. Of course, we don't blame every individual. Not every individual is always involved in that. But there used to be a federal headship that was connected, and we had it in our minds, and we have, even as a nation, drifted away from understanding that. They, Israel, did this many times to a number of nations, and in obedience to God, this was so, even to the point when King Saul, who spared King Agag and a number of animals, was considered in great disobedience to God. He lost the Holy Spirit, lost his position as king, and was possessed with an evil spirit. Ultimately, he killed himself in humiliating defeat because he did not obey God and kill all according to God's commands. The command was, 1 Samuel 15:3, Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep and camel and donkey. If you're killing even donkeys, you're considering that king, that wicked man, the leader, to be federal and responsible for all under him. And several passages of scripture teach us various truths about this federal headship. 2 Samuel 24 shows us all Israel suffering because her federal head, King David, sinned by numbering the people. Note, David determined harm against Nabal, 1 Samuel 25, and all his household, 1 Samuel 25:17, because of Nabal's ill treatment and disrespect shown toward David and his men. Only kind treatment from Abigail, who goes dramatically against the action of her wicked husband, saved the household from David's anger, though God still judged Nabal. Now, Nabal was guilty. He was the federal head of his family, and David was going to wipe out not just Nabal, not saying, oh, he's the only one guilty, not his children. He was going to kill them all, and only Abigail stepping out from under the headship of her husband saved that family. We see this kind of judgment in the Ten Commandments. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and to the fourth generation of those who hate me. Visiting the iniquity. When you make a false image or image of the true God in a false way, you hate God, it says, and I'm going to visit, God says, that iniquity on your children. The actions of Abigail, also a child who would obey God even though his father did not, show a person who would go dramatically against wicked headship in obedience to God. There would be salvation. Yet apart from Christ, none of our race went that far against the sin of Adam. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. Maybe, you know, this, it's hypothetical, if someone other than Jesus had went dramatically against the headship of Adam, like Abigail against Nabal, maybe there would have been another way of salvation, but that's all hypothetical. It didn't happen. All have sinned. We all were right with Adam in his sin. We all rejoiced. We were children of wrath, not only by nature, but by, if we grew to be any age at all, by our actions. Our solidarity with Christ, our new federal head, results in his righteousness being imputed to us, bringing us justification and life. Oh, this is the good part of this passage. Romans 5:15, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For judgment which came from the offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life of the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so the one man's righteous act, the free gift, came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by the one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by the one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Romans 5:14 calls Adam a type of Christ. Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. He is called an antitype. Adam's offense brought sin into the world and death and condemnation. Christ's obedience brought righteousness, justification, and life. What they have in common is imputation. Just as Adam's sin was imputed to us by our physical birth, so the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us by our spiritual birth, our new birth, being born again. Of course, we do not like the imputation of Adam's sin and guilt, but we should be very happy and grateful for the imputation to us of Jesus Christ's perfect righteousness. How much Adam and Jesus had in common? Not everything, but both had gardens. Adam, Eden, and paradise. Jesus, Gethsemane, and the olive press. Adam had one tree forbidden, lest he lose all life. He chose the one forbidden tree, bringing condemnation and death. Christ had one tree he must choose, the cross, in order to gain life. In obedience, he chose that tree to bring us justification and life. As Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Adam brought a curse, thorns and thistles. Christ brought a crown, wore a crown of thorns on his head to take away the same curse. Genesis 3:14 through 17, Matthew 27:29. Christ found us where Adam left us, in the abyss of sin and death. And he lifts us out, Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I faint for my God. Psalm 69. 1-3, that is our case. At our best, we are drowning in sin. And at our best, we realize this and we cry to God. And it's Christ who saves us out of this. Third, Christ's grace is more powerful than sin. His life is more powerful than death. Verse 20 of Romans 5, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin and death are powerful. Ecclesiastes 12, evolution, the love of death, is taught in our society as if it's true. We die, it's a natural end of life. It's the way we improve, because every death weeds out the weakest. That's the teaching of evolution. Death is honored. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 14 speaks of this. It says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house, their arms, the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men, the legs bow down. When the grinders cease because they are few, our teeth are few when we grow older. And those who look through the windows grow dim, our eyes, we're not quite seeing like we used to. When the doors are shut in the street and the sound of the grinding is low, meaning you're not hearing much. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of the grinding is low, when one rises at the sound of a bird, even though you don't, I can't hear, or you're still woke up by the smallest of sounds. And all the daughters of music are brought low. Yes, that voice grows low. Also, they are afraid of height. Can't walk and run like you used to. Can't go up those steps without fear. And tears in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the gray hairs start coming. The grasshopper is a burden. I mean, you can't live much. A little light grasshopper is too heavy. And the desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home. And the mourners go about in the streets. They cry. You know, in Christ's day, the mourners were hired, and they could be the loudest and most pathetic sounding women that you would ever hear. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Remember your Creator, it says. That's the grace of God. While we're in this world, we have a taste of hell, and we have a taste of heaven, a taste of hell in the trials, in the weaknesses that grow more and more, in the pains that grow more and more as we grow older, if we grow older, if we don't die in our youth. We live in a place where wickedness and death are all around us. And yet we have hope in heaven because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. None of the angels had this. They had no federal head. Some of the fallen have chosen Satan as their head. And yet they had no choice to repent. Once they sinned, they were lost because they were on their own. Their sin was their own. But because we had a federal head in Adam, now we can have a federal head in Christ. Just as his sin was imputed to us, Christ's righteousness by grace can be imputed to us. And that's why we need to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, before we have hard and harder times getting right for God, with God. Christ and grace are more powerful than sin. 1 Corinthians 15 is the passage that talks about Christ's resurrection and the resurrection in general. And it ends like this. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 58. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, Lord, I thank you that we have, all those who know this, we have a federal head in our Lord Jesus Christ. All those who don't know this, Adam is your federal head. And because he sinned, Christ is not your king, but Satan is your king. Remember your Creator. God is your Creator in the days of your youth. And today is the day of your youth, because tomorrow you will be older. If you're 85 now, you'll be one day older. If you're 85 in 30 days today, you're 85 and 31 tomorrow. And none of us is guaranteed, even if we're 6 years old, that we will live the next day. So we need to get right with the Creator before the difficult days are coming, before we die. And I pray for all those who might hear this who don't know Jesus, who haven't seen him or chosen him or have him as their federal head. I pray that you will, that God will give you that grace, that you might know him in this way. And Father, I pray for us who do know Christ as our federal head, that we will be thankful for such a thing, that our sins are not imputed to us because he's taken them upon himself on the cross, and now his righteousness is imputed to us. And Father, what a wonderful thing that is, that we, when we die and stand before God, and God asks, why should I let you into my heaven? I can say, because your Son, my Lord Jesus Christ, my federal head, died to pay the penalty for my sins, and his righteousness is imputed to me. And God will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, even though my servants might be with much sin connected to it. Father, I thank you for your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.